Yeah.
It just gave me the thing. It told me it's recording.
Yeah. So I will count.
Now I can tell you all my secrets. Don't worry. There's a dead body. And then don't get it.
Hey, look, don't worry. If there's anything that you say that or I say that's inappropriate, it will absolutely be edited out upon
request.
I know.
I'm kidding.
But you know, if there are any secrets you want to reveal, like breaking news. Okay. But yeah, I'll count us in so you'll know exactly when we start.
Okay.
And I'll introduce you in your podcast and tell people where to find you, and then we'll jump right in, and you know, we'll go as long as you feel like going, I would imagine.
Okay.
All right, give me one more second.
Kitty, what are you doing?
Oh, you've got a kitten.
Odin and Thor are my cats.
Oh yeah, that's right. See, I like pets, but I work so much and I'm home so little that they would die.
I get it.
Yeah, so cats are a little bit more low maintenance than like a dog or something.
Your dog's a lot of work. I've never had a dog. No, I've always had cats.
It's a lot. It's like a human. It's worse than a human because they're not self-sufficient sometimes. But yes, just to make sure I pronounce your last name correctly, it's Jesky, right?
Jesky, yeah.
Okay.
Russian.
I just want to make sure I get that right.
Prussian, like I'm going to come down off the mountain. Prussians were not, they're a warrior people. They spent, at one point, before Prussia became Germany, they spent 80% of their budget on their military. No kidding.
That seems.
That was like in the 1880s, but yeah.
Totally normal, especially for the times. I mean, you know, we don't underscore enough how war torn Europe was for a couple of
years. Oh yeah, they all killed each other.
Yeah, we're like, oh, the most evolved civilization. Not really.
No, not really. Well, it's like one thing I use with white supremacists who say white people aren't as violent. I'm like, well, you know, there's only a few hundred years of history where I could show you where white people killed other white people, like for no reason. All over that continent that you call Europe. But yeah, like it was not just one war. It was like Germany, just Germany and France and England. Just that combo was just one big constant fight. They kept fighting each other.
Yeah. Can you find a 100-year stretch where there was no fighting?
No. And then the whitest of the white people, my people, came down and started killing people. And they were, it's kind of funny though, because when the Vikings first hit, Ireland, they couldn't believe that the monasteries weren't guarded. They were like, they couldn't believe there wasn't an army there. And they just took all the money. They took everything out. And they were like, this is like an ATM. And then they didn't just raid, though. They helped found Dublin, which is why there's a lot of crossed DNA in that area. But combined DNA, I should say. But the idea of like the Vikings were just, they had no idea. They couldn't understand Christianity. So they're like, what do you mean God's protecting this place? They just didn't get it. And the Irish didn't understand why they needed like an army to protect a monastery, but they eventually did. Cause it was like the Vikings were just like, we've run out of land. We need to get some stuff. We got too many people. We don't have enough resources. So let's go raiding. And then they hit Ireland and they were like, cha-ching.
Well, it's funny. So, you're like, oh, they didn't understand the concept of Christianity. Cause they're like, our gods are gods of war, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
You stay
Odin
ready.
And Thor. This is what we do. In my apartment here. I mean, yeah.
That
I mean,
hilarious.
You read the Norse mythology, you're like, what the? I mean, it's pretty vicious stuff. So it's like, yeah.
But it makes sense for the type of environment and the type of communities they were living in. Yeah.
Yep.
It's funny how your gods typically tend to align with your society and not the other way around, alas.
So true.
All right, I'll count us in and we'll do our thing.
Okay.
And I trust you to make this entertaining and interesting. You're fantastic. Okay. You need no coaching whatsoever. You're better at this than I am. So, yeah, just pat yourself on the back. All your hard work.
Jesse Waters, an idiot. Okay.
Well, yeah, we'll get there. Hey, this is D Knight from the Pardon the Insurrection podcast. And today, one of our favorite podcast hosts from the Decoding Fox News podcast is joining us. Let us give a warm welcome to Miss Jesky. Say hello to the audience there.
How you doing?
I'm sure they're doing fantastic if they have time to listen to this. But so we'll start by telling everyone what it is that you do in the shortest possible description. You consume hours and hours of Fox News every single week, and then you provide insight and context to that consumption on Substack and on your podcast, right?
Yes. And I try to, I like openly say that I try to do analysis. Like, I have a master's degree in journalism, and I take the journalism part of it very seriously, but then I also just openly make fun of them. So it's a kind of a combination of me sort of breaking down what Fox puts out, the propaganda, the lies, the misleading stories, the manipulation, and then also just me openly mocking how ridiculous they are. And I'm pretty savage about going after like Jesse Waters and Judge Jeanine and Greg Gutfeld and really all the primetime hosts, because they're all just, it's just a bunch of nonsense. My favorite bits are to, you know, when I get lucky and like Steve Doocy goes rogue and he'll start, you know, like, well, what do you think about this? And, you know, he sort of kind of goes against his co-hosts. And every time I get one of those clips, it performs really well on Twitter. It performs really well on Threads, on every place that I put it, because people love to see that sort of that machine of Fox News kind of break down a little bit. Because it's, you know, it's, they are human beings. It's just not.
Are you sure? I'm not entirely certain.
I don't know. Even though it is very much like a, it is very much like a propaganda machine. It is very much designed to keep people scared, to keep people paranoid, to keep them on the edge of their seat. Like, you know, like the world's going to end. The United States is crumbling. And I don't really understand the appeal of that, but that's exactly what they sell. So people who watch Fox, they're like going on a roller coaster of dread, you know, and that's, they just lock in and they're like ready to like scare the heck out of me, Fox. And that's what they do. So.
Right. What's it like for you specifically consuming hours of this content on a daily basis?
I watch 15 hours of Fox every week. Sometimes as much as 30, although don't do that. I've only had to do that in like weird cases where there was an election or something. And I typically watch Fox and Friends, The Five, and then I rotate the primetime shows. So the primetime shows change on the given week. Although last week I picked up Jesse Waters and Hannity because the way they were treating the jurors in the Trump trial. So it is. There are times where I have to like walk away from my computer. Like, I just can't take it anymore. And I'm like, I can't, because I get sick of the negativity. It's just so, you know, everything's going to hell. Everything's burning down. Everything's horrible. And that energy kind of gets to me sometimes. And I'm just like, just zen it out. You know, I always joke, like people say, what do you do for free time? And I say, absolutely nothing, because that's literally what I do. I just,
yeah,
sit.
So you need a cleanse after consuming a few hours of Fox News.
Yeah, I don't watch MSNBC. I watch clips of MSNBC, but I don't go back and forth because it would mess my head up. I do compare everything I watch to PBS because they're nonpartisan and they're straight down the middle. And it's like high quality news. And that I do enjoy the PBS.
Yeah, let's hone in on that for a second. So What would you say, just in general, not, you don't have to give like super specific examples, but highlight some of the differences between how Fox News might cover a story or a set of stories or daily topics versus how PBS does the same.
Well, PBS will just, number one, PBS gets a lot of more international stories.
You can give a great example on, because I'm sure you're absolutely aware of it, like the situation in Haiti, for instance. How did Fox News's coverage of Haiti differ from PBS?
Well, Fox promoted the false, like it was a myth that there was cannibalism in Haiti when that was not true. Yeah, no, they took that totally seriously and put that on air.
And I can't keep a straight face. It's so ridiculous.
I know. Because the one gang member's name was Barbecue, which that had nothing to do with cannibalism. Nothing. It had to do with the fact that his mother sold food on the street when he was a kid. And that he got the name Barbecue from when he was a child. Now, he's not a nice guy. Barbecue's not a good dude, but he's not a cannibal. And so I didn't even know that until I was doing research at the end of the week. And an article popped up. It said, it's a myth. There's no cannibals. And it's something that's been hurled at Haiti before in the past, just due to racism. And so people have made, and voodoo, people have, you know, bigoted views towards voodoo. And so I looked into it and I was like, oh yeah, this is all nonsense. And it was very like AP did an article on it and they're very specific. They broke it down. Now PBS didn't even mention the cannibalism thing because it was a goofy hoax, you know, like they're not going to say that, but Fox said, oh, they're cannibals. And they're, you know, they're going to come to Florida and they're going to kill everybody. I'm like, what? So that's, you know, and the other thing is like PBS with Haiti, that was a slow, that's been going on for 2 years. And PBS reported on every single step, you know, like the, I believe it was the president who was killed, the prime minister who was not elected, was put in power. And then he just didn't hold elections for 2 years and everything descended into chaos. And then when Fox covered it, cannot make this up. I have like three instances, and this is just in the shows I watch. Three different people said that the prime minister had been killed. And I'm like, no, it's the president. And yes, it does matter because the prime minister wasn't elected. So they kept saying the prime minister had been killed and that the president was in Puerto Rico. And I'm like, you're flipping them. No. And then the other thing is that Fox completely ignored the story until it got really bad, until like the prime minister tried to come back from, I believe he was in Kenya. He tried to come back from Kenya and he couldn't get into his country because they'd taken over the airport. So he's been in Puerto Rico. And Fox finally reported on the story. Now, PBS had done a bunch of stories about Haiti. So I already knew that this was a conflict. I already knew it was a problem. I already knew that the country was falling into chaos. And Fox acted like it came up out of nowhere. And I'm like, no, it hasn't. You just ignored it. And now all of a sudden, because you think this will make a good story to scare your viewers of, oh, those evil people from Haiti are going to come into Florida. And another thing that PBS did that Fox did not do is PBS did a whole story about how the weapons that the Haitians have, and they have a lot of weapons, all come from Florida. Oops. You know, they wouldn't say that on Fox, would they? Because they're all smuggled in. Almost all of them are smuggled in from Florida because Florida's right there. And basically what they do is they smuggle them into what looks like humanitarian aid. And then, you know, you open the big blue barrels, all the different ways you get food and other things down to the Caribbean.
Yep,
and
boom, pops out the guns.
Yeah, boom. A gun's hidden underneath sacks of flour or canned goods or whatever. So that's how they're getting the guns. And so Florida is like a huge part of the problem and there lax gun laws and all that. And then if you would watch Fox, they're like, oh, these evil Haitians, they're going to come. And I'm like, what? No. You know, and like most of the Haitians are just like families like anywhere else who just, you know, they don't want a country that's falling apart.
Right.
But, you know, Fox would never show like a mother with her kids, you know, trying to get to a safe place. They'll just show like a gang member, you know, it's just for sure. Classic. It's classic.
Right. So, and so Fox has a history of that specific problem where there's a developing, slow moving crisis that we can all see developing. They won't cover it until it's at its absolute peak. Right. And I'm sure they do that with a number of stories.
They did it with Israel too. I actually compiled a list. This was nuts. This took like days of every single story that PBS had written about or included about Israel from the time I started my project in February 2022. Sorry. So February 2022, I went through all of my old newsletters and my spreadsheets and found every single story about Israel. Most of them were short. Most of them were like 30 seconds to a minute. And most of it was like, these people killed these people. And then there was, you know, some political unrest in the West Bank or some people showed up and they blew up a car, stuff like that. Just sad, horrible stories about violence. And it was like one right after the other. And the list, I think, stretched on for like 70 stories. And PBS and Fox had included none of them. And then Fox all of a sudden goes, oh, there's a war. You know? And it's like, and then Fox also, which was comical about how they've handled the Israel-Hamas war in a very bizarre way, in that they totally ignore it. They act like Bibi Netanyahu is widely loved, which he's not in Israel. And they only mention casualties at this point when it's IDF. And then even then, they leave out a lot of details. And it's everything's short and just like, oh no. And then they just, how can they twist it to bash Biden? What was comical last week is Hannity kept saying, we threw Israel under the bus. We threw Israel under the bus. And then I would find clips of other people on Fox going, well, the drones that were sent from Iran were shot down thanks to the U.S. military. And I'm like, well, we definitely didn't throw them under the bus if we're shooting, you know, like people have very strong feelings about Israel. I understand. But like Fox just twists the story in such a bizarre way that like, even if you were a hardcore supporter of Israel, you'd be very frustrated with their coverage because they don't show you anything. Like I'm kind of neutral on it, but it's like one of those things where it's like, how can you show this garbage? It's just an alternate reality completely. When the war first started, they would interview people from Israel. And the people would talk to them and they'd always sneak this in, which I loved. They'd go, "Thank you, President Biden." And I'm like, and I'm sitting back going, yeah, they go, "We just want to thank President Biden because President Biden's amazing. Can I thank President Biden?" And they would sneak that in and the people in Fox would be like, you could see them like flinch.
They're and like, then cut the commercial.
They did cut a couple of them. They cut a couple of rabbis kind of abruptly because they went into like at the very end of their segments, the rabbis were like, "And I would just like to thank President Biden." And they're like, "Cut." And then what also happened, which was interesting, is I have a few examples of this in my clips, in my archives, where somebody would, like Brian Kilmeade, would be like, "Isn't Bibi Netanyahu amazing?" And they were like, "No, I hate him." And I'm like, and I'm watching this on my side going, "Oh my God." Like, you know, like cheering them on. And then you would see the look of fear on somebody from Fox, like, "What? You're not supposed to say that." And then the person from Israel was like, "I'm going to say it." And so there was a couple instances where the Israeli guest would openly fight with the person on Fox who couldn't understand
that.
Yeah. Oh, it was my favorite clips where you could see that the Israelis were like basically saying like, "No, he's very unpopular. And a lot of people blame him from October 7th. What are you talking about?" And so that was sort of, then they kind of stopped covering the war a little bit, partly because they didn't know how to shape their story. So now they just don't really talk about it. They did talk about it last week.
Well, this is a real instance of Fox News choosing to not cover a story because it literally doesn't fit their narrative that they want to portray.
Doesn't fit their narrative. So they just stopped covering it and they only show what they want to show. And like I said, the United States relationship with Israel is very complicated. It's a complicated situation. But, you know, Hannity was basically just selling nonsense to his audience. And I thought,
how does Fox News? So you've watched far more Fox News than I watch it in clips. But how does like the coverage in general, how do they square their support of Israel with a lot of the other anti-Semitic content that they air on their network?
Well, it's been bizarre. They just ignore the fact that they're anti-Semitic, and they are very anti-Semitic because the great.
Yeah, it's a big open secret. No, it's not breaking news.
The Great Reset, the Great Replacement, even though the Great Replacement came from France and originally was anti-Muslim, it has been warped once it got to this country, that conspiracy theory, and now it's very anti-Semitic. And they push that constantly push the Great Replacement. They've also pushed cultural Marxism, which they openly now promote. And there's now books published with cultural Marxism on the title. Senator Ted Cruz, I'm looking at you. And that's an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that's based in absolute nonsense. So all of this gets pushed. Tucker Carlson was openly anti-Semitic and nobody cared. And I'm just sitting here going, like, I clipped once he was trashing he hated black women to a level that I was fascinated.
Yeah, we don't have to get into that. We're well
a horrible man. He was a horrible man, horrible man. But he would always trash black women, and he was trashing a black broadcaster from, I believe she was of MSNBC, and he slipped in blood libel. So he's trashing this black woman who did, I don't know why he was trashing her. I was like, other than he just is a racist piece of garbage. And he said, "Are they putting the blood of their babies into your bread?" And I went, blood libel. Okay, that's an anti-Semitic.
Why would you
just slip that in casually? Like, it's nothing. That's super specific. And I knew immediately what it was, clipped it. I screamed. I audibly screamed watching that. I was like, dude, that's not cool. So,
hand, they're Nazis, but on the other hand, they support Israel. Very weird.
It's just
marriage.
It's about just manipulating their audience, just trying to get as, because they know that conservatives tend to be pro-Israel and the Jewish population is not a monolith at all in the United States, and that you've got a myriad of different opinions about Israel in the United States among the Jewish population. So many Jews in New York are incredibly liberal. So to say that they're all pro-Israel, that would not be the, I would say absolutely not. I think it's all over the place. But I think they're definitely trying to get the evangelical vote that's very pro-Israel, the conservative vote that's pro-Israel, and then the percentage of Jews that are conservative about Israel. Yes, there are some. So it's sort of that combo. But it is bizarre because they also promote all this anti-Semitism. So yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up because no one ever does. They always act like it's not a problem on Fox. I'm like, no, it's a huge problem.
No, it's a huge problem. Yes. Huge. If you don't watch it all the time and you still see it, then it's an extraordinarily large problem. But you brought up Tucker Carlson there for a second. So again, how has Fox News weathered the loss, quote unquote, of Tucker Carlson?
Their ratings are not back to where they used to be. They're not quite there yet. I don't think they fully recovered. I think it's been interesting because Jesse Waters kind of tries to be Tucker Carlson, but he's not like, yeah, Tucker Carlson, I don't agree with anything he says. I think he's a horrible human being, but he was very skilled at what he did. He was very skilled at like working his audience and weaving these crazy conspiracy theories. You know, he would start off at the beginning of a monologue. He'd do like a 25-minute monologue sometimes.
And yes, he would do the reverse Rachel Maddow when we could have had 2 minutes on this.
Yeah, I know. I know. There's times with Rachel Maddow, I'm like, just get to the point. I mean, I get it. Whatever. But like Tucker Carlson would take like three or four different topics, weave it into one big long conspiracy theory, do 20 minutes on it, right? And that's what he was good at. And like somebody like Jesse Waters is like, you know, he'll do something stupid like Taylor Swift is a psyop for the defense, you know, department. She's a defense department psyop. I mean, it's not a very good imitation of his voice, but it's sort of the Jesse Waters. Like he tries to do it, but he's not as good at it. And so it's just like embarrassing. And you're just like,
he hasn't spent enough time diving down internet rabbit holes. And
I just don't think he's smart enough. Like, and somebody said, somebody asked me once if I wondered if he was, if it was just satire with him. I'm like, satire? No, you need intellectual capacity to handle satire and parody. And he does not have it. He's just dumb as bricks. Like I say that all the time on my podcast. I met people from Fox. I won't say who. I told them, I promised them I wouldn't say who. And I won't even say what event, but I was at a media event, just very vague. And I met a couple people from Fox. And I went on more than one media event last year. So figure this out, you will not be able to. But I said to them, when I first met them and I realized they worked for Fox, I'm like, Jesse Waters is so profoundly dumb. How do you handle it? And they didn't say anything. They just went.
He is extraordinarily stupid. And I don't even know if he's just stupid, but he's also lazy. Like he couldn't even do math. There's this clip of Jesse Waters railing against people making $20 an hour. And he's like, oh, so two people living together making $20 an hour at McDonald's. It's $100,000 a year. They're like floating in cash. It's like, bro, do you not know how math works? Like $20.
Yeah, and they said
like
$40,000. They go, it's $40,000. And then he goes, so if they're married to somebody, they're making $100,000. And everybody was like, and then somebody even shouted from off camera, 80,000. Yeah. And it's like, hear it. And he just kept going. And I'm like, what? Yes. Does he actually know what the take home pay would be to for $40,000? Like, that's like $40,000 pre-tax. Like they tax that. So you're not walking, you know, like to even a couple both working at McDonald's, if they made $40,000 a year, if they had just one kid, that would be, that's hard, you know, or if you lived in any like major city where rent is a little bit higher, that would be challenging.
Yes, very. Even with two people and kids. But it's funny that you say Fox News hasn't recovered from totally recovered.
Not completely.
Tucker Carlson. But given that people are still watching Fox and you have that moron on there, doesn't that kind of speak to the fact that people are just addicted to the network, not necessarily the specific host or content?
I would completely agree with that. I would completely agree with that because that would also explain Greg Gutfeld, because it's like, what, are you kidding me? Like he's very funny because he keeps trying to say that he has a late night show and he doesn't, because now he's on at 11. No, he's on at 10. He's on at 10. And that's not late night. Late night doesn't start until 11. So he says he's the king of late night. And I'm like, actually, no, your competition is our news shows. You're not a late night comedy show anymore. You're a primetime comedy show, and your competition are news programs. So I don't understand why you think that you are competing with late night comedy comedians anymore. And I don't understand his appeal at all, because it's just I don't find him funny. I find him mean. He can't be photographed standing up because it shows off how short he is, which is
He's not funny because conservatives don't understand how humor works. So that's
They're just mean. They're just mean. They think mean is funny. It's like, oh, look, it's a homeless person. Ha ha ha. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, like that's his idea. His idea of funny is calling the women on The View fat. Like, really? None of them are like fat. And like, even if they were, like, what are you doing? Like, how is that funny?
Like, or like, if at least if you're going to be offensive, could you make like good fat jokes at the very least? I mean, like, I'm black. I'm not a fan of racism, but every once in a while, you know, you occasionally hear a racist joke. You're like, damn, that was still kind of good.
Well, we were talking before we were recording, I make fun of myself as the whitest white person on the planet constantly. Like, how could I not? I'm glowing in the dark now. Look at this. Like, it's like a joke where I'm always like, what's the highest SPF that you sell? Okay. I need that. And I need to completely encase myself. Because
go ahead and take a shower in that.
So
given the way Fox typically varies in its coverage compared to other major news networks, what would you say the biggest major differences are in how Fox is covering the Trump trial versus other networks?
I will say I have been disappointed that it seems like every major news network or media company included way too many details about the jurors. I thought that was reckless. I thought that was just irresponsible.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, because there's no reason. We don't need to know who likes to dance and who likes to outdoorsy stuff. And we certainly don't need to know where they work. That was outrageous. And but Fox, of course, because Fox is Fox and there's no shame, there's no bottom. They were like Jesse Waters was openly saying, well, juror number two is going to be a problem. You know, like, this is a human being who's doing her civil service, and now you're openly attacking her. She's not a criminal. She's not, you know, she's not part of the system. She's just a citizen of Manhattan, like a citizen.
She's not on trial.
Resident of Manhattan. Yeah, she's not on trial. And she ended up quitting because people figured out who she was based on all these, you know, clues he was dropping on Fox. And they're not going to say, oh, we're part of the problem. I mean, I think the grossest thing that I was just horrified by on Fox is from day one, as soon as they got information about the jurors, they were like slapping up on the screen. Juror number one is, this is where he lives. This is what he does. This is his race. I was horrified.
Do you think that's like they're actively trying to engage in witness intimidation on purpose, or this is,
I do.
And like, if you zoom out, because like looking at it in this particular instance, you could probably offer them, you know, like give them some excuse for that type of coverage. But this is in the context of Trump spending years now constantly attacking investigators and prosecutors and judges and lawyers and potential witnesses and people who flip on him. So and Fox does all they can to amplify those attacks, knowing that it will inevitably cause some people to probably face some sort of harm. And we've had a number of attacks on, you know, the FBI here recently. We've had judges getting threats. So when they amplify these messages, it's not like they're doing it on purpose. Like, there's obviously no debate there. And like,
Yeah, I couldn't help but think of Ruby Freeman. You know, she was
perfect example.
She was the poll worker in Georgia, and she and her daughter were both harassed within an inch of their life. They had people show up to their property. It was like a family. It wasn't their home, but it was like a family home. Showed up physically to this home and like threatened them. And what's so sick about Fox is people, one of the specific quotes that can only be tied back to Ruby Freeman. Now, Ruby Freeman has successfully sued Rudy Giuliani for defamation. I don't know how much money she'll end up getting, but she successfully sued him for like millions of dollars. She and her daughter.
Over $100 million.
Yeah, over $100 million. And she and her daughter are suing other people because multiple places went after them. And I think they should, because it's the only way to stop this behavior. But what kills me is that people go on Fox today and still use the reference of suitcases full of ballots. And that is specific to Ruby Freeman and her daughter, because that was the claim that they brought in, which they didn't do, of course, but they brought in suitcases full of ballots. And I'm like, I cannot believe that after the Dominion lawsuit, where you had to pay out seven, $787.5 million for lying about the 2020 election, that you still have people come on this network and say stuff like, well, we don't want to see suitcases full of ballots again. And I'm just like, I can't. I just like lose my mind. Or like I've seen cases where they'll say, well, they dance right on the edge of this because they think they know that they'd get sued in a heartbeat, but they've implied that E. Jean Carroll is a liar and that, you know, they don't quite say that out loud because, again,
they always find a way to like tiptoe around the line of plausible deniability with everything.
Yeah, walk right on the edge and say, well, wasn't that a civil trial? And does that really count? And that's, they'll use language like that rather than say E. Jean Carroll's a liar, which is outrageous because like E. Jean Carroll said two trials.
Both successful.
She won both of them. Yeah. And it's like, what do you, Fox has no shame.
Well, you bring up that lawsuit. So Dominion sued Fox News to the tune of, you know, $750 million. Like, considering all the news that you watch, do you think that settlement has actually had an effect on the way they cover certain stories or no?
A very, very little. People ask me that one all the time. I've seen a couple of instances. The two instances that I'm going to say both happened on the weekend when I don't watch Fox, but they were airing rallies of Trump and they cut in and said something like the 2020 election was not stolen. They have done that twice.
Yes, I've seen one of those.
Yeah, they did that twice. And now they openly say that Biden won in 2020. So they'll just casually say, well, Biden won the election in 2020. And I'm like, and I'm sitting here going, oh, you know, like that. And then, so they say that. And
must
then
be horrifying to the viewers. Yeah.
Horrifying. And then, so they say that. And then they, the one thing that they, because they're also being sued for $2.7 million by Smartmatic.
Yes, that lawsuit
that's still coming. It's working its way through the courts. Civil courts are kind of slow compared to criminal. So it's still moving its way through the court system because Fox countersued them, which was not surprising. And so now what they do is they'll just be vaguer. Like they won't say Dominion. They won't say Smartmatic. They'll just be vague about their comments, but they still promote the fact that they're still like, I have collections of them just still promoting the big lie. They'll just infer. They won't say it was stolen. They'll just say, well, there was a lot of craziness that happened in 2020. We have to make sure, you know.
So they're like Trump. When a gag order is placed on him, he'll try to figure out exactly where the line is and then tiptoe right up to it in hopes that he won't be held responsible. And Fox is just doing the same thing, but from a broadcast network perspective.
Yeah, because they just figure, well, if we have to pay out a settlement, it will still make money. We don't care. You know, it's just, you would any other media company would probably have collapsed after paying $787.5 million.
I got to tell you, I'm surprised they're still in existence, too. But I guess, of course, they can't let their propaganda network go. And so one of the things Fox was concerned about after the 2020 election, or at least after calling Arizona for Biden and Trump railing against the network, was losing their audience to their competitors on the even more far right, because I really don't know how to describe Newsmax and OANN and such. But how would you say Fox is doing doing their job in like balancing the way they cover news stories as to like not lose their audience to those outlets, but also like still protect some semblance of what little credibility they still have?
Well, they have the only things that they have, like Neil Cavuto's show. He has a show. It's like at 4, and then he has a show on the weekend. And then Brett Baer has Special Report. And those are like their legit news programs. But even those, I have watched both. And I would say Cavuto is, in my opinion, more legit than Brett Baer. Brett Baer leans more partisan. And they sort of attempt where they'll have Democrats on those shows and they'll kind of try to give lip service to we're being fair and balanced. And I'm like, no, you're not. Cavuto, I did watch him after the Wagner Rebellion situation in Russia, where the Wagner group tried to like basically try to stage a coup, but then it kind of failed immediately, sort of. And I was curious to see how they would cover it on Fox. And the show that I happened to cover was Cavuto because it was a weekend. And he actually did a good job. And I was kind of like, oh, he's actually not being partisan. He's not promoting conspiracy theories. But then I watched Fox and Friends Weekend, and Rachel Campos Duffy, who's, you know, talk about like, what are you doing? She like immediately just goes, is this us? Did the U.S. do this? We did this, didn't we? No evidence.
No, whatsoever.
She just decided that the CIA was somehow helping the Wagner group. And even her co-hosts were like, Where are you getting this from?
I mean, no, I still haven't seen evidence that we had any hand in that whatsoever.
None.
Proof in the pudding there is, well, Prigozhin, the leader, former leader of the Wagner group, is long gone, dead.
Yeah. It seems like that was a spontaneous thing that happened without the CIA getting involved. But, you know, it was just like, it was classic Fox News where, you know, Rachel Campos Duffy, who got her start in reality television and somehow parlayed that into, you know, working on a news program, you know, just says stuff. She's like the queen of conspiracy theories. And she'll just whip them out over, you know, nothing, with no evidence, nothing to support it, and just go, I think this is crazy, you know. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, she kept saying that Michelle Obama was going to run for president. I have a whole selection of that. I have a whole folder full of Michelle Obama is now, you know, where they're just like, she's like, that's kind of the role she plays. Is she'll just sit there and go, you know, I think Michelle Obama is going to run for president.
I mean, is that just her way of dismissing Joe Biden and his?
I don't know. I think she really believes it, but I think it's like, she's just like a crazy person. It's like, I know this might blow your mind, Rachel Campos Duffy, but you're supposed to actually have evidence to back up what you say. Like I made that video that showed that Chick-fil-A, I was one of many. I think everybody covered that, which was kind of
hilarious.
The
entire internet like
got that story, which was brilliant. And I fell over laughing when I saw how many people did, because I was like rushing to get it out. And I kind of thought other people would get it. And then like everybody got it. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. And actually I thought it was great. But
let me stop you on that real quick. So obviously Trump, being a reality TV figure himself, does this thing where he stages a lot of events and tries to make them look as though they're spontaneous. And then Fox covers that, knowing that they're staged events, but presents them as though they're spontaneous. Like, how is that not basically Fox operating as part of the Trump campaign?
Well, they blatantly shill for him. I mean, like, I have a clip from, they still keep bringing up the Chick-fil-A appearance. And like everybody knows, like the AP got that one too. AP interviewed, I think her name was Michaela Montgomery. They interviewed her. And the funniest quote in that was, she basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but she basically said, well, I'm upset that people thought that was spontaneous because I worked so hard on it. And I'm like,
yeah, she's like admitting that it was totally
openly admitting. Like, I got my nonprofit together and I called up all these women and I said, let's show up to support Trump. And they showed up and I was so proud of them. And that's how she talks about it.
Right.
And then,
well, Trump's done the same thing with like auto workers. And
yeah, it's all fake.
The bodega.
Oh my God, the bodega. Oh my God. I'm just getting so worked up because the bodega, that's where I live here. Okay. And I don't live in Manhattan, but I know every borough. I've worked in every borough. I used to work in special events, so I worked in every single borough in New York. And the bodega one is so funny because all the people behind they had to, of course, because of Secret Service, you can't just have the former president walk into a bodega. You can't do that. So it was all cordoned off. They had NYPD came in and they put barricades up around the bodega. Yeah. So he could like waltz in there. And if you look at the people behind the barricade, they're all white. Who do you think lives in Harlem? No, Harlem is, you know, mixed. It's gotten more mixed, but it's primarily Black people still in 2000. I mean, it's like, what? And then you could see, because it was included in other clips on the internet, people who actually lived there, who didn't drive in from Long Island, yelling at Trump.
Yeah,
Black people like going,
right,
shut up.
The street.
Yeah, all this profanity and screaming at him. And I'm like, yeah, that's New York. That's
New
York. And
then the story that comes out of that is, look how the Black community supports Trump, even in New York. It's insane.
I didn't see any Black people behind those barricades. I didn't see any. They were all white people from Long Island, probably Long Island or New Jersey, who are like, I got to go see Trump. You know, I'm like what was so funny is when I saw the other clips of I didn't see this until a couple days later, but I was like, of course. And it was like people who actually lived in the neighborhood going, shut up, we hate you, Trump. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I mean, I used to live in a neighborhood that was 70% Black. I used to live in Flatbush, Brooklyn. And that, are you kidding? Nobody liked him. Like, nobody. No. Like, oh my goodness. I was like, I don't, just making stuff up.
Okay, this is like outside of the news coverage, but since you're practically a New Yorker at this point, you've been there
23 years. Time.
Yes. How do you think Trump's reputation in New York pre-presidency is going to affect his trial as far as the jury is concerned? Because, of course, you've got Fox News covering the jury with the intent of making sure jurors are intimidated. But I don't think like New Yorkers are going to suffer that too kindly. And also, like, do you think, given New Yorkers' feelings about Trump, that most of the jurors can be fair and impartial?
Well, it's weird because, I think there are people who I had jury duty in Brooklyn and it was a murder case. And I just told the judge I can't do it because of this job. It's too hard because this job takes up so much time. And then they asked a question about police. And I said, well, my sister's a criminal defense attorney and I hear a lot of bad stories about the police. So I don't. I'm just kind of like, I just would have to see. I don't automatically trust people, basically, is what I said. And then I immediately got kicked off the jury. But I think some people really do take that very seriously and want to be impartial. I will say, so I can't speak for the jurors. Like, I can't speak for the, I don't know them. And I don't.
No, not specifically.
I would say some of them are
New Yorkers.
I think some of them are being impartial. But I will say that in general, Trump was seen as a clown before he ran for president. He was never seen as somebody who's lived here for 23 years. He was never seen as, I actually worked on The Celebrity Apprentice too. No kidding. As a stand-in, two seasons. I stood in for the woman who had a bunch of kids, who was married to the Asian guy. Oh, I can't. Kate. Gosling?
I haven't watched The Apprentice.
Kate. I stood in for Kate.
That's it. Yes.
Kate. And yeah, I can't remember her last name. And then I stood in for a penthouse play person, whatever. And she was on a season before that. It was basically blonde women who I stood in for. And he was not liked by the crew. He was just seen as sort of a guy who was good at getting publicity. But nobody, like, they're like New York real estate. He's not even close to the top people in New York real estate, not even close. There's families that own, huge sections of New York. They're like, NYU owns a huge section of New York. Columbia University owns huge sections of New York.
And he's got his name on a couple of buildings.
This guy's name's on places. And like, even Trump Tower, all the condos are leased to the individual owners. He owns. Right. The retail space
and the retail space.
And yeah. He owns his penthouse and that's it. And
is Trump Soho even in Soho? Like,
no. And it's not his building anymore. I don't think it's his. I have a list. I don't have it in front of me, but I have a list of all the buildings that he technically doesn't own anymore, or that people think he owns, but he doesn't, or he just owns part of it. He's not a big shot in New York. He was never viewed as a big shot in New York. He was known as somebody who got a lot of publicity. He was known as somebody who was brash and was in the press a lot. And then he had that goofy show, The Apprentice, and then yeah. Celebrity Apprentice. But he was never known as being like this great business person at all. And the Central Park Five issue, the fact that he got very involved in that. And if your viewers don't know that crazy story, it was a horrible story where a woman was brutally raped in Central Park. And they didn't know who did it at first. And then they rounded up five young men and they were teenagers, Latino and Black, and they kind of railroaded them. And it came out years later that somebody else admitted to it and the DNA matched that other person.
Right.
And the woman didn't remember what happened because she was knocked unconscious and she doesn't even remember it. The Central Park Five were all exonerated and one of them is now a city councilman. Yay. And he's actually in Harlem, which he's actually in that area where Perfect. Trump was. Cannot make that up.
No.
That made me so happy when I found that out. But Trump had taken out a huge ad in the New York Times, I believe, that said, they need the death penalty. And like, he just went straight for those young men and teenagers' throats. Some of them were still children, I believe, if my memory serves. They were very close to being children. They were very young.
Yeah, very young teenagers.
Very young. They were teenagers. And, they were just railroaded because people were outraged about the crime and mistakes were made in the prosecution. And they locked up the wrong men, in my humble opinion, and many others, especially since they found the guy who actually did it and they matched DNA to the scene. And the guy who really did it had a whole pattern of doing that. Right. So it was even like more evidence. Like that's all he did was attack women. So, Trump is not like a beloved. I mean, anybody who thinks he's like this beloved New York's favorite guy. No, not at all. Like he was never
I think in like 2015, it would have behooved the nation to come to speak to people who actually lived in New York about Trump, because he probably wouldn't have won the election. They'd be like, oh, it's a clown show.
It is a clown show. And the joke about that, and I've written about this as well, and it's I'm hardly the only person who's written about this, but the people at 2015 when he came down the escalator, the people with signs like, we love Trump, those were paid actors. This is well known. This has been, many articles have been written about it. I used to be a performer. And at the time, we would get casting notices, like you sign up for services. And I saw the casting notice and it was like, I think they got paid $50 because it was a live event, not on camera. So it wasn't under the union. So people went and did it. And then they were horrified that he actually won.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we thought it was going to be hilarious.
They thought it was going to be a joke. Yeah, they thought it was going to be a joke. And I know people who were like the paid actors to be there. So just like that's. He's just a huckster. That's it.
And that's his MO. The elevator speech travels through time all the way to the present day. And then we end up at Chick-fil-A with some staged event.
Yes, Chick-fil-A. And like, I'm sorry, but that was like an extra layer of that just I found very offensive was the fact that it was a chicken place and like black people.
I'm not going to bring that up. It was like,
that bothered me. You know, I mean, I know Chick-fil-A's for
chicken.
Chick-fil-A's every, you know, I get it. And like, trust me, plenty of people in New York go. We have many chicken places here, but that just seemed like the stereotype. And like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah,
I just
and the
was
black
like,
girl.
And
this, yeah, it was a lot. But let's take it back to Fox News really quickly before I let you go. So, of all the Fox News hosts, past and present, which one would you say, or which handful would you say are your favorites and your least favorites?
I am thoroughly entertained by Judge Jeanine, even though I hate everything that comes out of her mouth for the most part. But she's entertaining because she always gives me material and because she's so, I just have no idea what she's going to do. Like, what is she going to throw a pen? Is she going to, because she's thrown pens at people. Is she going to, admonish Greg Gutfeld? Is she going to yell at Jesse Waters, which I've seen her do that? I don't know. She's like a live wire. So every time.
Feel free to do your Jeanine impression anytime.
Oh, I got to go. I got to put the mic way over here. I'm Judge Jeanine. I do her in my podcast. I do a version of her voice. And this is the voice. It's very loud. And there's a rhythm to the way she speaks. Yeah, that's a well-known bit in my podcast that I do with Judge Jeanine pretty much every week. Sometimes I do Carrie Lake.
That's pretty good. So that's about as good as my Trump impression.
There you go. I mean, she's one of my favorites. And then Steve Ducey's always entertaining because he's another one. I have no idea what he's going to do. And then he's like such a boomer and that he says crazy stuff where he's just like out of nowhere, he'll just be like, you know what? I'm going to go play some pickleball. And I'm like, where's this coming from? And then he fights with his coworkers all the time, corrects them, openly fights with them, spars with them. Says stuff in defense of Biden all the time. And I'm just like, Steve Ducey. Like, and then my least favorites would be Jesse Waters, because he's dumb as bricks and he promotes nonsense. Greg Gutfeld, because he's mean. And in my opinion, he's racist and incredibly transphobic, like bizarrely transphobic. Like, it doesn't make sense. He's so transphobic. Very hateful person. He's come for me personally, which was funny because all he did was give me more followers. But yeah, I mean, he did like significant. I got 20% boost out of that one.
Maybe you're not the only person hate watching Greg and such.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like him. I think he found out a lot of people follow him on Twitter who don't actually like him. Because when he came for me, I got this huge boost from it. The other person I would say that I just think is, it's hard to know. Like, who what I would say was like, I like, this is a funny one. I like Joey, this is his real name, Joey Johnny Jones. He's a veteran who's lost both of his legs. He actually comes across as a decent human being, even though I don't agree with most of his political beliefs, but he's a rare one where I'm like, no, I think he's a good human being.
Oh, really?
Ansley Einhart I'd probably get along with her fine. She seems fine. I mean, like, I don't agree with her politics, but I don't think she's a horrible human being. Hannity drives me nuts. Who else? I'm trying to think. Harold Ford Jr. just disappoints every damn day. Because he's just like, I'm going to agree with everybody. I'm Harold Ford Jr. I'm a liberal. What? Jessica Tarloff is everybody's hero. And then, because she's the liberal who's like super whip sharp.
No, she's actually fantastic. So
Richard Fowler, though, Richard Fowler, she is fantastic. Everybody loves Tarloff. Richard Fowler is a black gay man who's been sitting in that slot. And Richard Fowler might be, because she just had a baby. So we're not going to see Tarloff for at least a couple months. And Richard Fowler does a pretty good job. He's not as seasoned as she is, but he's very sharp and he's very good at dealing with them. And I'm trying to think if there's anybody who I just loathe. I don't really hate these people. I find them very... I like Tucker Carlson was the one that I would want to throw up watching. I just couldn't. He was, and when he got fired, I will say this, when he got fired from Fox, it was like everybody's birthday who follows all the accounts that follow Fox, like me, Aaron Rupar, Media Matters, Asin, everybody else out there. Asin's with Midas Touch. Everybody else out there was just like we were just like, I can't believe this happened. like kind of virtually hugging each other online. Like,
hey, look, losing $750 million, somebody had to go.
Yeah. So that was like the big moment. But like, that would be it. Like, and then I think some of their regular guests, I'm not a fan of, because I'm just like, just stop lying. There's a couple. It's kind of all over the place. But there's a couple generals that they have on that I like because they're more reasonable, like the military people. And then there's some that are just completely nuts. So it just depends on the day. But they have a general called Jack Keane, and he's more moderate. And every time they have him on, I'm like, ha ha ha. He'll be like, we need to support Ukraine. And I'm like, yes.
And again, they have to do the thing like cut.
Yeah, like, ah. And I'm like, we got Jack Keane. So I'm always excited when he's on, but like, and then there's people like Joe Concha, which I'm like, I don't even like, dude, like Joe Concha is hanging in there. He's like one of the regular contributors, and Hannity will turn to him and go, you need your own show. You need your own show. And they don't even have him sub. Like when they go on vacations and stuff, Joe Concha is never behind that seat. He's never behind the desk. And I'm just like, Joe Concha, dude, man, I feel bad for you. Like watching this, like you're never elevated. And they have him come on at like 4 a.m.
Wow. For Fox and the Friends morning, First.
They'll use him at Fox and Friends and Fox and Friends First, which is in at 4 a.m. And I'm just like, Joe Concha.
Yeah, poor guy.
But yeah, I mean, I have no personal beef with him, but I just kind of go, yeah, that's this weird tier. Like there's definitely a hierarchy there. Definitely. And I did talk about this the other day, like the blondes are more like, oh, I'm a blonde on Fox. I'm not going to interrupt you or ever raise my voice. And the brunettes are like, what? You're like what's going on here? Because like Judge Jeanine, Rachel Campos Duffy, this woman named Tammy Bruce, Emily Campagno, they're all much louder and much more abrasive. And I'm like, what is
I feel
is
like
up
they're all
Kennedy?
Going in the vein of Alina Haba now that she's been hired by Trump.
Yeah. So. Oh, she's Alina Haba. She's comedy gold, man. Comedy gold. Yeah,
absolutely. You can't make
like,
that
what
up.
Is she going to say?
Would I rather be intelligent or beautiful? Well, you know, you can't. Anyway, but yes, one last thing before we let you get out of here. So what percentage of Fox hosts would you say actually believe the BS that they push every day or versus the people who just, you know, show up and cash check and say what they're told?
I would say most of them. I say most of them believe it. I do. I think most of them are true believers.
So they're really on TV, like for the culture, except it's the wrong culture.
I think somebody like, I think some of their guests might not be completely on board with some of the nonsense, but they need the paycheck. Some of their medical contributors are better than others. Some of them are more legit. But I would say without hesitation that I would easily 90% of them are true believers. Some of them are more true believers than others. I think some of them were, this is the weird thing. I think some of them were more Nikki Haley fans or were more DeSantis fans and had to just sort of swallow it and go with Trump. I definitely saw that. I definitely saw some people on the network who were leaning more towards a more sane Republican. not that I'm a fan of either one of those people, but like, I think that they thought, well, they're not crazy, but now they're all in for Trump. And, it's weird, but I think that the biggest believers, honestly, would be like Judge Jeanine, I think, is a true believer. Ansley Einhard's a true believer. Hannity, 100%. Jesse Waters, definitely. Greg Gutfeld, definitely. Greg Gutfeld's politics are very odd.
Yeah,
he's kind of all over the place.
Yes, right. I don't even know how.
Kind of a libertarian, but not really. But yeah, and
it's like someone who supports Ukraine and Hamas. You'd be like, how did you get to that particular?
Yeah, he's an odd man. He was very anti-Ukraine from the very beginning, which was very strange because you're like, huh? And he's an odd dude, but I don't know. Like I said, like, I don't know any of them it's strange, but I do think that they are, maybe Ducey may not be as right wing as he once was. I think he might be disillusioned. That's what I see. That's what I suspect, but I can't read his mind. So I have no idea. This is my gut feeling that he's kind of like over it a little bit. But I don't know. It's a creepy network to watch because it's just rage and fear and paranoia all day long. And I'm like,
yeah, you summed it up. Every time I cut the Fox News on, I'm like, okay, I got to cut this off. It's way out there. It's too wacky.
Because we're always at the brink. Things are about to explode. You know, like it's never just like, I've said this before, like, we do have a migrant crisis, but if we had two people crossing the border every day on Fox, they'd make that a crisis. They would, you know, it doesn't matter. They would invent a crisis even when there isn't one. That's how they roll. You know, they also, here's a funny one. Oh, Charles Payne, who's Fox Business. This is the kind of stuff that they do. It was one of my favorite clips ever because it was just total nonsense. He said this in the fall, the year, I guess it was 2022, and the Biden's, student loan bill was still pending, and very much pending. And Charles Payne looked into the camera and said, well, we have inflation right now because of all these checks going out to pay for these student loans, and people are just spending wildly. And I'm like, there's no truth to what you just said, because nobody was going to get a check. Nobody gets a check. The program isn't even, it's stalled. It's going to collapse. We all knew it was going to collapse at that point. But he said that with a straight face.
We received our investment from the banks. So go ahead and invest in Tesla before you've actually received the investment from the banks. And then that's what happened to keep your company afloat. And that they pulled the same stunt on Fox. That's hilarious.
It's nonsense.
Yeah. But that is Juliet Jeske. Make sure you check her out on Decoding Fox News, the podcast, everywhere podcasts are found. You can also tell them your Substack, where we can find you on.
Oh, yeah.
Formerly known as Twitter.
And I would love to say very quickly that I am 100% funded by crowdsourcing. So I have no large donor. I have no billionaire who gives me a check every month. I don't have rich parents. My dad was an auto mechanic. I'm 100% of my funding. I don't get advertisers, is from people listening to my podcast, subscribing, becoming paid subscribers to my Patreon or Substack. No one controls me. There's no puppet strings. And I always need supporters. So if you want to support me, go to Substack for Decoding Fox News or Patreon for Decoding Fox News. And yeah, you can find me on all social media.
Please, for God's sakes, subscribe to our podcast. She watches all this Fox News stuff, so you don't have to. But yeah, thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a lovely day.